man, been up there 5 years and got about 30 people in his basement, and they've got flooded out from a place where they rented and they're looking for a building, but a good group of people. So now we are confessedly tired. So have mercy on us. Not so much right this second, I need to go to bed, but we have allotted 4.5 months for to present this ministry to churches. We came here August 15th, and for the last 4.5 months, we've been in service, presenting and preaching, doing what we can, to every single time the doors are open, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and sometimes other times through the week and in missions conferences besides that. And this is the last one until the last week in December, and then we go to the Philippines. We'll be in the Philippines on January 3rd, and we're about to jump out of our skin to get settled and to start that new ministry in the Philippines, to be with Ruben and get that Bible Institute up and running. So I want to show you this DVD, which will tell you much of what I've just said. And we have a long history with the Philippines. And we liked the Filipino people so well that we took one home as a souvenir. And you'll see that. And we adopted Mary Bethany and 17 years ago. And you'll see that too. And we're hoping we found out the other day, she already is a dual citizen of the Philippines. So we're hoping that she'll pay us back by adopting us so we can get in and become citizens, joking, of course. But I hope you like this this DVD. And if you have any questions whatsoever, let me know. I'll be happy to answer them at the end of this time.
Make sure both our mics are on.
Okay. Servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was saved in 1963, and I've been serving the Lord for 43 years. I believe that the Lord
saw. Anything? Yes, sir.
Yes, I'll probably give the information for this one. The church that you said over in Iligan? Or Iligan?
Iligan, correct. Not ready for this yet.
Okay. You've had your chance.
You know the blind man in John chapter 9? The Pharisees tried to trip him up. Probably ask him some of these questions, you know. Is that guy a sinner? He said, I don't know. He said, some people, those Pharisees, they said, some people say he was born of a virgin. What do you think of that? He said, I don't know. He said, some people say if we kill him, he'll come up from the dead, resurrection. You believe in that? He said, I don't know. They said, well, you don't know much, do you? He says, one thing I know. One thing. Not used to this. Borrowed accordion. Belongs to you guys. I do not know the depths of Jesus' love that brought him down to earth from heaven above, nor why he bore the cross of Calvary.
and shed His precious blood, sobering me. But this one thing I know, that when the crimson flow dropped to the earth below,
place in your house, in front of your refrigerator. Pray for us every time you feed the hole in your face. Got some books in the back you might be interested in. This is a history of General Douglas MacArthur, played a big part in the Philippines, and it parallels his life with the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're interested in Second World War, particularly South Pacific history and the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll like that book. There's a book called Sermons for Life back there. There are sermons in this, if you need them, but it's more interesting that it's written to stimulate your mind and heart on sermons and Sunday school lessons for both children and adults, or children and adults together. And you picture yourself probably many times if you serve the Lord. Saturday night, you're staring at a blank piece of paper. What in the world am I supposed to do? And this will stimulate you on what you might want to preach. This book on my dad, I wrote this to honor my father, and he was an interesting man, but a common man. And he was born and raised in Canton, Ohio, and at the age of, he graduated from high school, 1931, middle of the Depression, and it wasn't a job to be found, so he got on a friend's Harley Eagle, sat down on a saddle seat, his friend sat on top of him, all the way to California in 1931, and then down the southern route on the border of Mexico and Texas. And you've heard of bums and hobos. Maybe you've seen pictures. He was one. Now, he didn't live under the bridge. He wasn't a drinker. But he was a hobo, and he bummed his way to California and back, and then hopped freights when they couldn't use a motorcycle anymore. So you've heard of riding the rails, and Dad did that. And then he was a door-to-door salesman most of his life. You might want to get that. This interesting book on public ministry, and it's interesting because I wrote this in 1997. The date's right there. And yet, the cover of it has a dual scene. Over here is old times, here's modern times. And on the modern times side is the Twin Towers, and there's an airplane whose path is traced through the 82nd floor, exactly where it went in. The airplane, if you look at it with a magnifying glass, has an insignia of American Airlines airplane, same one that went in, same kind that went in. And over here is the Mosque of Omar, as in Muslim. Another book on public ministry that you might be interested in. Look at them at least and make your decision. Take your Bibles and turn to Numbers. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers 14 and verse 24. And I want to preach tonight a biographical message on Caleb. Very good man in Scripture. Are we okay up there? All right. Caleb's conquest. You know, Paul said, be followers of me even as also I am of Jesus Christ. So we have examples in the Bible that we are to follow. There are types of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, David and Joshua and Moses and many others. And these are good men, and it shows you what they, some of them goofed up. David goofed up, and the Bible basically says, hey, this is the consequences of his goof up, don't do it. Hey, dummy, don't do it. But basically these men are good, and they accomplished great things for the Lord. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the average, mundane, go to church and go home once, you know, as often as you want to. I don't want to be an ordinary, mundane Christian. I want to do something for the Lord. After all He's done for me, I want to accomplish something for Him. So the best way to do it, now, if you were going to be a banker and you knew a banker that was successful, he lived next door, you'd probably want to spend a lot of time with him. You want to ask him some questions about finance and about how to get into the banking business. If you wanted to be a movie star, God forbid, you might want to pick one out that's a success, and you want to emulate him, be like him. The same with any other profession. And you know, once you become saved, once you become a Christian by faith in Jesus Christ, you need to follow the men that are successful so that one day you can say to people behind you, be ye followers of me, even as also I am of Jesus Christ. Caleb is such a man as that. Let's read in Numbers 14 and verse 24, and then keep your Bibles handy because we'll go different places. But my servant Caleb, the Lord speaking, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, notice every word carefully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Heavenly Father, give us understanding of this passage. Give us, Lord, the challenge of our hearts. I pray these people will trust the Bible, trust God's Word, trust the Holy Spirit, and trust the man that's preaching tonight, as long as I say things that are in accord with your Word, and that they would trust you and in the matter of opening their hearts to be ministered to. And may the Lord Jesus Christ be exalted as we preach the Word tonight, and may He draw all men unto Himself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as feeble an illustration as this may be, this is going to be the mountain that Caleb conquered. And that's exactly what Caleb did. One of the best things that he did do in Scriptures, in the Scriptures, he, after he was one of the successful spies, he, at the age of 85, how many are 85 in here tonight? Only me, huh? Okay. At the age of 85, Caleb looked at the mountain
filled with the enemy. Giants, if you please. And at 85, he said, I want that mountain. And they said, but Caleb, you're 85. He said, no problem for me and the Lord. He said, I'll take them one at a time. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Amen. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, Caleb's character. Boy, do we lack in the human race, in the American culture, in most churches. It doesn't matter what brands, what names, what adjectives you identify the church with. We lack character.
That's right.
Yeah. Really. If you've got some, then you notice the lack of it. And if you don't have one, then you need to get one. I'm preaching to you tonight. And if you've got one, cherish it and make it better and make it stronger. Caleb had character. He wouldn't have fit in any university in the United States of America today. He just wouldn't have fit in. I mean, peer pressure had no effect upon Caleb. Notice his character in the verse that we just read. It says, but my servant Caleb, first of all, humility, my servant. Does that bother you to be a servant? Not of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My. Not to do what I'm told for the most important person in the whole universe. Not to be standing, not to have the privilege. It doesn't bother me a bit to have the privilege to stand next to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as every knee shall bow, and my knees shall bow, and the devil, and Adolf Hitler, and Obama, and Mitt Romney, or whoever your favorite candidate is, regardless of their denominational affiliation, they'll bow. And here I am, his personal representative, his servant. Caleb was such a man. God said of Caleb here, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit. I love that. I love that. I love that. Wonderful. It's not said of anybody else in the Scripture that they had another spirit. Or a different spirit. Now there are people in there that had strong spirits, and they had, of course, the Spirit of the Lord, and Stephen was filled with the Spirit of God, and Philip was filled with the Spirit of God, and all of that stuff. But Caleb had another spirit, a different spirit. And in the context, it's comparing him with the spies that went over into the promised land and looked things over, and they said, forget it. It ain't gonna happen, folk. 10 of them saw giants. 2 of them saw grapes. And Caleb was one of those 2. 10 of them said, the giants, they're too tall. They're too big. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. And Caleb said, let's go up now. Right now's the time. We've got a bigger God than they've got giants. We can take it. We need to take it now. And he had another spirit. You know what I want? I want another spirit. The world says it can't be done. The world says at 66 you're supposed to retire. You're supposed to go to Hawaii and play golf. Pardon me. I can't stand golf. I don't want to retire. I want to go to the Philippines and have the most challenging, the most important, the most significant ministry set in front of me than I've ever had in my entire life. And I want to start from scratch, from nothing. You know, God does His best work with nothing. That's why He's done so much with you and me. In the beginning, God, He had nothing to work with. Well, what's He going to do? There isn't anything there. That's where all this came from. You, before you're saved, you know what you were? You were a ring, a zero with the ring knocked off. You were a nothing. I was a nothing. And God does His best work. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that's what I am today. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. What I am today, Christ made me. The Lord Jesus Christ has done something with me. What was I to begin with? Nothing, less than nothing, below scratch. My wife is a good cook. She doesn't go to the store and get a Betty Crocker cake mix. She cooks things from scratch. Everybody knows that's better for you. Everybody knows that tastes better. It's just more work. Well, with God, He does His best work with nothing. Caleb, he had another spirit. Look in that same verse, and it says, God said of Caleb, because he had another spirit with him. I love that. I want another spirit other than the negative spirit of the world. I want another spirit, another one other than the condemnation of God, the things of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the cursings of God. I want another spirit. And you have access to that. The Bible says when you get saved, you can have the Holy Spirit. Well, you've heard of that. It's probably been maybe twisted or altered in your conception of it, and your understanding of it. But the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, which is contrary to the world, contrary to the flesh. And it's another Spirit from God. You can have it. And it will give you character. Oh, I want that. I want that. I've got that. I just need to let it rule and reign in my life. Look at the same verse. Because he had another spirit with him, and watch it, and hath followed me fully. Said of no other man in all of the Bible that they followed him fully. Look at the choice of words. Fully. It's understandable. I mean, we understand right off exactly what that means. He gave everything he had, everything he was, everything he ever would be, he gave to the Lord. You know, if Caleb were sitting here tonight and sang that last song, where it's not, I've got it in my mind, where he leads me, I will follow. What was the song that we sang? That wasn't it. I'll go where he wants me to go. I'll do what I'll say, what he wants me to say. I'll do, I'll be what he wants me to be. You know what that is? That's a description of Caleb. Caleb said, I am yours. You make me what you want me to be. And he followed the Lord fully. Could it be said of you that you followed the Lord fully? That you had another spirit that only righteous people enjoyed and liked? That God enjoyed your spirit and your company because you were contrary to the world? You had another spirit and you followed Him fully. Him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. What are you going to do? Stand and say, now, Lord, you should have said, maybe he'll come into the land and maybe his seed will possess it. No, the Lord said, what I've said, I've said. He said, it's a promise. He will come into the land. And you know what? They had 40 years in the wilderness to go. Caleb and Josh are the only two that came out of Egypt, came across the Red Sea, spent time in the wilderness, and God said, you two, Joshua and Caleb, not even Moses, will go into the promised land. 40 years in the future! You say, well, now God shouldn't say that because anything can happen, you know, and you might break your promise. No, the promises of God cannot be broken. You know what the Lord said to me? He said, these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. Why? Because I deserve it. Well, I deserve to go to hell. Why? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for me. God said, these things you can know. Well, nobody can know. Well, we see what spirit you're of. You're of a religious spirit that is contrary to the Lord. Notice Caleb's character. And he says, and your seed, and his seed shall possess it. Look in verse chapter 13. When the other 10 spies saw the giants, and Caleb and Josh saw grapes, look what Caleb said. And he stilled the people, because they were riotous. He stilled the people before Moses and said, look at this, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. You notice a couple things there. He says, let's do it now. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Don't sit there and say, one of these days, I'm gonna. Boy, I would like to someday, sometime, some year. Don't do that. Do it now.
Amen.
What thou doest, do quickly. You need to get it done. Commit yourself. Come to the Lord tonight and say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And then do it. Caleb, in his character, was able to say, I'll do it now. Let's do it now. And then notice, he doesn't say, let's go conquer the land. He takes that for granted. He says, let's possess the land. He says, and possess it. And then he says, for we are well able. We're not only able, we're well able. We're well equipped. You know what? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. There is nothing in the Philippines waiting for me. Me and the Lord are majority. The Lord Jesus Christ, through Him, I can do all things. That's character, my friends. That's character. He looks ahead at the mountain. Later on, we'll see that mountain. And he looks at the bottom of it. Now, I realize this is, like I said, the last time I'll say this, a feeble example of a mountain. But it's kind of my size. You know, if there was a mountain, I may not be able to do this. But I think I can handle this one here. And Caleb, in his character, looked at the mountain and says, let's do it now. At once, let's get started doing it right now. You know how he could do that? Because he had character. You know what you're waiting on? You're waiting on character. You're waiting on another spirit to jump upon you and make you do something for God. It ain't going to happen. God never will do that. He works with volunteers, willing hearts. He had another spirit. Keep your finger there and look in Job chapter 26, and I'll ask you this question. Caleb had character because he had another spirit. Someone, very wise man, said, what I'm about to read to you could be the questions asked at the judgment seat of Christ. Wow. If that's true, just think about yourself in light of the examination you face at the judgment seat of Christ. In Job chapter 26, but Job answered and said, how hast thou helped him that is without power? How savest thou the arm that hath no strength? How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom? How hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is? To whom hast thou uttered words? And watch it. And whose spirit came from thee? Wonder if you had to answer those questions tonight, and you really should. Whose spirit came from thee? You say, well, maybe your wife would say, you know, he's just like his dad. Did his dad have the Holy Spirit? Was his dad contrary to the world, contrary to the flesh? Did his dad love God? Did his dad appreciate the things that God did for him? Whose spirit? Is it your own spirit? Is it the world's spirit? Is it your wife's spirit? Is it your sister's spirit? Whose spirit came from thee? In Caleb's case, it was another spirit contrary to the world, and the Lord appreciated that spirit. Notice Caleb's confidence. We are well able. He had confidence in the Lord. You know what? I know. If God can create the heavens and the earth and all of us for His pleasure, I know that He can do anything. And that little song we sing with the children is a nice little ditty. God can do anything. God can do anything but fail. That's nice. You know what? You should sing that and believe it. God can do anything. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We came to the States August 15th. We had no money, just our regular support every month, with the idea of starting this Bible Institute. I haven't got any idea what the Lord wants to do down there, except that I know he wants a Bible Institute. I know what part I'm supposed to play. I don't know what he wants to accomplish. There isn't a desk there at the present time. There is no building for the Institute. There are no classrooms or textbooks or any of the sort. There's no students down there waiting on me. Like I said, he does his best work with nothing. But I know God. I know God. In the beginning, God. He can do anything. And he's going to do it. We are well able to do what God has set before us. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, he says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." Then notice in Caleb's character and Caleb's confidence that he followed me fully, God says. He followed me fully. I want to follow the Lord fully. Every aspect of my life, every area of my, I want my family to follow Him. I want my business to follow His example and His training in the Bible. I've raised my children in, train up the child in the way he should go, in the principles of the Lord. I want every aspect of my life to be said that he followed him fully, well able, total confidence. The Bible says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." The verse that I started with is the DVD. But the desire of the righteous shall be granted. You write it down. I mean, that is a check that's signed by the Lord, and the amount is left blank. He's going to do it. I have that confidence. Do you have that confidence in the Lord? Well, maybe it's because you've never trusted Him for anything. The Bible says, "Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Maybe you've never trusted Him. But I've seen the Lord work. I've seen Him supply. I've seen Him do miracles. He's going to do it again. You know, three times in Ezekiel, the Lord said, "I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it." Three times he said that just in the book of Ezekiel. "I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it." What are you going to do, argue with God? Jesus said, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Will he find a group of people that are trusting him beyond salvation? You trusted him for salvation. Did he do a good deed for your soul? Did he do you good for your soul? And why don't you trust him with your life? Why don't you trust him with your pocketbook? Why don't you trust him with your children? Why don't you trust him with your wife? Why don't you trust him with your future? Why don't you trust him with your ambitions? Give it to the Lord. Follow him fully, entirely, wholly. Like Elijah said, "What do you want?" And Elisha said, "I want a double portion of your spirit." I'll tell you, I dare you to ask the Lord for the spirit of David and the spirit of Caleb. Just say, "Lord, I'd like to have that." You ever get to the place sometimes when you don't even like yourself? "I don't know why I did that. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I could take those words back. I wish I could undo those deeds, but they're done. I don't even like me." You look in the mirror and say, "What are you up to now?" Man. Well, why don't you ask the Lord to give you another spirit? Give you the Holy Spirit. Fill you with the Holy Spirit. Then I want you to notice Caleb's courage. Read in Joshua chapter 14. Joshua 14. And this is the section where he wants that mountain. Joshua 14. And verse 1, we'll read just a little bit here because it's all good. Joshua 14, "And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest, Joshua, and Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses for the nine tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of two tribes and a half tribe on the other side of Jordan, but unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, therefore they gave no part unto the Levites. Skip down in verse 6. In verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, okay, these two guys, these are buddies for life. They're the two spies that came back, and they said, we're well able to do it, and let's go do it now, and let's get it done, and our God is able, doesn't matter how many giants are there. So these guys are buddies, and Joshua is in the process right now. They're totally successful, they're victorious, they're in the promised land, and Joshua is carving up, if you please, under the direction of the Lord. He is dividing the land per tribe. And he says, okay, your tribe gets this, your tribe gets this, this tribe, your tribe gets this. And if you got a good Bible, they're listed there, and it shows you the real estate in the back of your Bible. But Caleb interrupts. This is interesting. Caleb did not want his portion of the land divided up and thrown up for divvies. Moses had already told Caleb, he said, land upon which you trod, that's going to be given to you. Moses had, under the inspiration of God, had given Caleb his portion of land. And now Caleb, 45 years later, comes to Josh and said, hey, buddy Josh, don't give my portion away. And here's what he says. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren, that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. That makes him 85 years old when this event takes place. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now I am this day 85 years old. 85. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Listen, my friends, no one corrected Caleb. No one said, well, you're just an old man. You think you're 35. We'll see how it lasts. Nobody corrected him. And the Holy Spirit proceeded to incorporate it into Scripture. And every word of God is pure. This man was a physical phenomenon. Look in verse 12. Look at this now. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. At 85, he wants a mountain filled with giants, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. So look at his courage. He said, give me that mountain filled with giants. Caleb doesn't want his promised lot to be included in the general lot. Caleb wants this mountain in particular because Moses said he could have it, but he wants it in particular because it's the most difficult of all to conquer. At 85, his courage. He never even gave it a thought that he might fail, that he might die in the process. He didn't care if he died in the process. He had been through 40 years of wars that he and Josh had fought in the wilderness, and God brought him through as he had promised, and God promised him that he could have that mountain, and by golly, he's going to get that mountain. I want that mountain. What mountain? Have you lost your last marble? That mountain there, we can't take that. We can take the cities around it, but there's giants in that mountain. That's why I want it. There's enemy. It'll keep me healthy. It'll keep me strong. But Caleb, you're 85. Yeah, I believe the Lord has put things in my place just for this mountain. I want that mountain. Give me that mountain. Caleb said, okay, it's yours. I'm not saying I'm Caleb, but I truly believe the Lord has given me the experiences in life and given me the opportunities to serve and put those building blocks in place. And I believe that I've come to the kingdom for such a time as this in the Philippines. It's not easy to start things from scratch, especially Bible Institute. I'm ready. You watch the Lord. I don't know about those 100 churches. I believe they'll be there. They're not there now. I believe they will be. I want that. I want that mountain. You want a mountain? Do you have a mountain that you want? Do you have any giants in your life? Here's that mountain. Something to do for the Lord. Something to conquer. Some victory in your life. Something that has defeated you for 20 years, 5 years, 10 years. Something you just can't seem to conquer. Get the character and the spirit of Caleb. And say, I want that mountain. Lord, will you give me that mountain? And then at once, let us go up. Notice the courage of Caleb. Well, I'll tell you, there was giants in that land. Caleb, when he went over to spy, the giants were there then, it says in Numbers 13:22, and they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. All of those were giants and races of giants. And Caleb, when he went over to espy the land, he noticed the mountain of Hebron, and it was filled with giants. And 45 years later, when Joshua was dividing up the land, he said, Josh, I want that mountain. And Josh, maybe in a candid moment, said, well, why do you want that one, Caleb? He said, because if you remember, when you and I and the other 10 guys went over to spy the land, the 10 spies took one look at these giants in this mountain and said it couldn't be done. And that's why I want that mountain. He said, I want to prove it can be done. You know, the Lord said, prove me herewith. Prove me. He says, prove me. Some of you can't trust the Lord with your wallet. And God said, prove me. I said I'd provide your need if you'd give properly according to the Word of God. If you'll give, I'll supply your need. And He said, prove me. Prove it. Caleb said, I'll prove it to him. It can be done. And if I could do it at 40, I can do it at 85. My goodness. Caleb wanted to show that the giants could be taken. And then notice not only Caleb's character, Caleb's confidence, Caleb's courage. Notice Caleb's climb. It's one thing to stand at the bottom of the mountain and say, I want that mountain. It's another thing to begin the ascent. Look in your Bibles to Joshua 14 and verse 10. Joshua 14:10. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as He said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go in and to come out. You know what? David. David said, I have been young and now am old. And David changed when he got old. And he lost his powers of judgment because he made some bad decisions and failed to judge correctly with the matter of Absalom, with the matter of Bathsheba, with the matter of other things too. And he lost his powers of judgment and he said, I have been young and now am old. Caleb said, I'm not old. I'm older, but I'm not old. It's one thing to be considered older. I'm one of the oldest men in this room, but I don't feel like I'm old. I'm older, but I'm not old. Does that make sense? And Caleb said, I'm as strong this day. Hey, you know what the difference is? I don't know what his body looked like. Maybe they all laughed at him. But maybe his body was something like Samson's. I believe Samson, he didn't have bulging muscles, and you look at him and you say, man, that's the strongest man ever lived. No, he was a common, ordinary man. And it was the Lord in Samson that gave him the strength to do the feats that he did. I believe Caleb, he may have looked like an older man. And maybe people laughed at him, but he wasn't old because he had another spirit. He had the Holy Spirit. And he had the Lord inside. And listen, though his body may have aged, his soul and his spirit were as strong as it ever was. And the Bible says, the spirit of man, I can't think of how it's phrased. Now, the spirit of man sustains a man, keeps him going. Oh, we've seen people that are old when they're 30. You know why? Because their spirit is old. Their soul is old. They have no conquest ahead. Nothing to look forward to. I've done a little bit of research, and the guys that went to school with me, both elementary school and high school, you know what they're doing? Same age as me. You know what they're doing? They're sitting on the couch watching a football game. They're watching Ohio State. They're watching Florida State. And they're watching their teams win and lose. And they're drinking a six-pack a day. And they can't stand their marriage. It's their third one. They failed on three of them. And they can't stand their grandkids. And they never go to church because church is a bummer, just religion. And they're just wasting away if they're not already dead. Or they have some buddies come over and they live in the past. There are no mountains. There is nothing to challenge them. I don't mean this to turn this into a psychology class here tonight. But psychology and the things of the Lord come very close. I can do all things through Christ. Psychology says, positive spirit. What did Norman Vincent Peale say? The power of positive thinking. That's psychology. But the power of the Lord is I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Peale is appalling, but Paul is appealing. Caleb began to climb. And as he did, he took out the giants. His soul was as healthy as his body. And he did not retire, he refired. He accepted his biggest challenge at his old age. Jim Fallor, a friend of mine, preacher friend of mine, he's as old as I am or older. And someone asked him, I think concerning me or somebody else, they said, why do we send old people to the mission field? And his reply, he said, to get things done. To get something done. Amen. Because of this, instead of dying early, Caleb lived. Look in Numbers chapter 14, verse 38. It's easy to die. Anybody can die. I want to live. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 38, notice the wording here. But Joshua the son of Nun, this is God talking, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. That's what I want. The world says you're getting ready to die. The world says you're getting old. The world says there's nothing else to do. The world says there's no mountains to conquer. The world says give up, the giants have got you. Caleb lived still. I've often loved the story. When Joshua and Caleb came back from the promised land, and they said, let's go up at once. And the other ten says, oh, no, 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 no. There's giants there. We're like grasshoppers. We can't go over there. We can't do it. It may be flowing with milk and honey, but it doesn't matter. We'll never see it because the giants are there and we can't do it. Our God is not big enough. And so God says, okay, because you said that, you're going to die in the wilderness. It's easy to die in the wilderness. Some of you are doing it. Some of you are dying right now because you never took the challenge of a mountain ahead. It's easy to die in the wilderness, but God said to Joshua and Caleb, listen to this now. He said, you're going to live. For the next 40 years, you too will go into the promised land. Oh, that's nice to say. That was God's promise. And they lived. That meant that they had a contract signed by God. They would not die for 40 years. Wouldn't that be neat? Hey guys, does this appeal to your Rambo manhood? You know what they did during those 40 years? They fought battles. There's swords and bows and arrows. And you can't die? Come on! Giants, let's go, pal! Come on! Let's get it on! Because I cannot die. Wouldn't that be that way? You know what Jesus said? Thou shalt not die. Another time he said, thou shalt but die. Dying's easy. It's living for God. That is the challenge. My. Thou shalt. It says, they lived still. We could have Melsabaka's funeral here. His body is dead. You know what? He lives still. You can't keep a good man down. His spirit and his soul lives on. You say, you believe that? I really believe that. I've got a little bit of education. I didn't let it get me. I conquered it. I still believe the Bible. They lived still. It's easy to die. Some of you are doing it right now. You just got no ambition in life. No, you're a failure. There's no victory. You're a victim of habits. You're pushed over by the next candidate that's the top one. You think that global warming is going to do us all in. And you're a victim of the next news media. And you're just waiting for everything to collapse. And it does because you expect it. But Caleb didn't expect it. He had another spirit. And he says, I want that mountain. And Caleb lived still. That's what I want to do. I tell you, if you're preaching my funeral, I mean right in the middle of it, and you're crying and weeping, oh, Brother Sutek, he was a good man. He was a good... I'm going to sit up and say, I still am! And then I'll lay back down and live still. Caleb's climb. There's a man in our church in Austin, Texas, named Kay, Brother Kay. And he's my age. And he's retired. 2 years ago, he retired. It means he's got a retirement. So what? You know what he's doing with his retirement? Going to Hawaii playing golf? No. He's going to mission field on his retirement. What a novel idea. Why didn't you think of that? The first year he spent in BBTI, that's where my daughter is, learning language skills and culture. He's my age. You know where he's going? He just left three weeks ago. He just got on a plane, he and his wife, for Papua New Guinea, the jungle. You know what? That'll keep him alive. He lives still. Would have been easy for him to stay home and die. Anybody can die. Some of you are doing it. But Caleb had another spirit. Caleb had that character that some of you lack. You say, well, what am I supposed to do about it? God, give me Caleb's spirit. God, give me that character. And then start going after it. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Do something. Walk out there. Give out tracts. Do something for God. Prove God. Live for God. Live by faith. Caleb did. And it kept him alive. He lived still. That'll preach. Someday I'm going to preach that. Caleb, it doesn't say that Caleb ran to the giants, but I believe he did. I looked in my concordance and tried to make it say that, but it didn't say that. David ran to the giants. The Bible says in Numbers 13 and verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. It's the same thing. Let us go up at once and possess it, the land of the giants. Let's go now. And so I believe Caleb was putting on his track shoes and getting ready. He says, okay, we're ready to go, Mo. You say go, we go, Mo. And we're ready to go. And the other 10 guys said, ain't no way. And all the people go, ooh, we're afraid. What are you afraid of, man? We got a big God. Let's go. I got my track shoes on. I'm ready to go. And he's ready to run. The Lord says, nope, people aren't going to trust me. So they're all going to die in the wilderness, and you and Josh will go into the promised land. Oh, David, when he took on the giant in 1 Samuel chapter 17, everybody else said, well, he's too big to hit. And David said, no, he's too big to miss. Amen. Someone preached, and I copied it down. That's not original. David was a giant killer. And someone preached and he said, a giant killer is faithful in little things. David took care of the flock of his father. A giant killer doesn't carry non-essential baggage into battle. David chose 5 stones. A giant killer goes to battle because there is a good cause. David was the one that said, is there not a cause? He defies the God of Israel. A giant killer places no confidence in the flesh. I can't do it. David couldn't do it. It was physically impossible for David to go against that giant. It was against all strategies of war for David to go. Saul should have gone. That's what they hired him for. What's he doing? Staying under the tent, staying out of the battle. David said, I'll go. You see that spirit there? It wasn't Saul's spirit. It wasn't the spirit of his brethren. It wasn't the spirit of the world. He had another spirit. That's what you need. You say, how can I get it? Come and ask for it. You don't think God will give it to you if you really want it? If you'll do something with it? God will give it to you. A giant killer finishes the job. That's what I want to do. I want to go to the Philippines and finish the job. Are you a giant killer? Or are you just going to die? One of these days, you know, getting old. You know, run out of TV programs. I'll tell you, we're staying in a motel. We've stayed in several motels. You got the stupid glass toilet there in front of you. You're a little bit bored with everything else. So you turn on that glass toilet. Better be careful, man. Better be careful. You run the channels. I'm not going to buy a movie. Not worth it. So you run the channels. And I'm telling you, listen. There isn't anything on but what insults my intelligence. It is stupid. Stupid. You're wasting your time, man. You're letting life go by and you're just dying in the process. Caleb lived still. Then notice Caleb's conquest. Because he had another spirit, he was assured the victory. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want the victory? Do you have any desire for the victory? You're just going to die in your sins. Yeah, well, you know, everybody got to die of something, you know. Give me another beer there. Yeah, turn the channel. Let's see what's on the other channel. Man, you're dying. That's death. I don't want that. I want to live still. Look in Joshua 14, 14. Joshua 14, 14. Wake up. Turn in your Bibles. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunne the Kenizzite unto this day because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Are you going to let your life pass without an accomplishment
for God Almighty? After what He did for you, are you going to let your life be consumed and taken up with the mundane, stupid activities of this world and not get anything done for God? There's something that the Holy Spirit put in every one of your hearts and minds as I'm preaching. There's a problem in your life. There's a habit you need to conquer. There's a task you need to do. You need to get over that fear and pass out that one gospel tract. Thou shalt not die, or thou shalt but die. Who cares? I'll never forget in Ireland, we had a lady, just like what I'm saying. She never had passed out a gospel tract, and she was my age. We got there and we started door-to-door visitation. She wouldn't come on the street meetings. It was her hometown. Oh, God forbid her friends should see her serving God. Well, some of you know what I mean on that. So she went on visitation, and she was Robin's partner, and she had a gospel tract. She had a gospel tract. And she was going to pass it out for God. Good! I encouraged her. And she held that one gospel tract. The one gospel tract. And she went with Robin. And Robin going up the street. Hey, how you doing? Here's some good news for you. Here you are. Oh, here, wait. There you are. Okay, take two. Read it twice. Whatever. You know, she's having a ball. And this woman, my age, she's walking behind Robin and she's waiting for that chance to do something for God. Whew, whew, this is her Jericho, you know. And she finally worked up enough courage to hand it to somebody. Incredibly funny. These two workmen are coming out of this narrow hallway through a door and they're carrying a door. Two men carrying a door. And they come out, and this is the moment of courage for her. And she says, here you are, sir. Here's the gospel tract. And he looked at her like, lady, you've lost your last marble. You know, he didn't say that, but he's not going to put the door down to get a gospel tract. What an up. So you know what she did? She stuffed it in his pocket. And then she ran back to the church and told the preacher, I passed out a gospel tract. Oh, what a mountain. What a mountain. You know what? She didn't die. Some of you have never passed out a gospel tract. What is it that the Holy Spirit's bothering you about in this message tonight? Caleb's conquest. What a man. You would hope that your daughter could find such a man with this character, with this courage, with this challenge, with this climb, with this conquest. Why don't you be the example? Why don't you come and be filled with the Holy Spirit? We're not done yet. Caleb's conquest. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you needn't turn, it says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You ever notice that before? Giveth us. It's already given. It's already there. It's already in the bank. It's already available. All you've got to do is withdraw it. It's sort of like salvation before the sinner gets it. Salvation's there. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, to whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's right there. All you got to do is take it. We've all of us who've won souls or witnessed, we've said, here's something, and it's mine. I'm going to give it to you. And oh, what do you have to do to get it? You have to take it. That's salvation. Well, Christian, listen, that's not the end of the matter. Here's a whole platter the Lord has. And here's victory. And here's obedience, and here's faithfulness, and here's another spirit, and you can have what you want. What would you like tonight? Would you like some victory? Would you like some ministry? Here it is. I'm offering it to you. And the Christian just sits with his hands underneath his lap and says, no, I could never do that. My brother was just a little boy. And my mother has a picture, a famous family photo of him as like a two-year-old boy at a wedding. And a picture of the wedding cake is behind. And they're passing it in front of him. And he's sitting like this, sitting on his hands. And he's looking at this piece of wedding cake going by like that. Because he didn't trust himself. Christians are like that. What are you doing, man? Take from the Lord. He has an abundance of victory. You need victory. Caleb had the victory. Then lastly, notice Caleb's challenge. You know, Caleb looked at that mountain. He says, I want that mountain. That's the most difficult conquest in my life. It's the most difficult conquest in the history of the nation of Israel. I want to prove that it can be done. I'm going to do it at once. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make the effort. I'm going to go all the way to the top. I win. Hooray! I have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know why he did that? He did that to prove that it could be done. He did that to prove to the nation of Israel that if an 85-year-old man could do it, then a 25-year-old man ought to think about doing it. And look, he chose the most difficult mountain with the giants on it to challenge the next generation. Think about this and I'm done. Look with me in Joshua 15 now. Joshua chapter 15 and verse 14. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai, the children of Anak. Those are all giants. He drove them out. He was successful. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath-Sefer. And Caleb said, this is the next generation, he said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, to wife. Hey, I want to ask you something. Caleb said, watch, boy. Watch this older man do it. And he knocked out the giants and took the mountain. Then he saved one place. And he said, if there's a young man here that'll take Kirjath-Sefer out, he says, he can have my daughter. And one man said, if you can do it, I can do it. And he lived for God, trusted God, took the challenge, and went and took the city and became heir to all that Caleb had through his daughter. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as also I am of Jesus Christ. Could you say that to a younger Christian? Could you say, you follow me, you go wherever I go, you say whatever I say, you do the things I do, you develop the habits that I have, you sing the songs I say, you tell the jokes I tell, you go the places, you meet the people that I meet, because I'm following Jesus Christ. Could you say that? Well, if not, what legacy could you leave for the next generation? You know what Caleb left? All that we've preached tonight. My goodness, what an inspiration. What a tremendous challenge to the next generation. There's a song, I was hoping it was in our hymnal. I'd like to teach it to you. The chorus is easy. So I'm going to sing the verse. I'm going to sing the chorus the first time. Try to pay attention and at least learn the chorus, because they're going to incorporate it. Brother Pat said he was going to incorporate it into your little songbooks. It's called I Want That Mountain. I know the man, or I knew the man. He's in heaven now. The man that wrote this, Bill Harvey. Do you know Bill Harvey? Okay, he wrote this. In fact, he wrote it. I was sitting in the audience and he wrote it during a Ruckman Roloff conference at Trinity Baptist. Dr. Bob Grace. I'm sitting in the audience. I didn't notice. Nobody paid attention. But he penned it down as Dr. PSR was drawing. And he penned it down. He got up and he said, I'd like to teach you a new song. And this was the song. Here's go. Here's based upon the verse that we read, Joshua 14:12. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. Here's how it goes.
I saw the giant of prayerlessness upon the mountain high. He laughed so hard at my unbended knee. No longer in the wilderness I'll stay, and so I cry. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. Here's the chorus. I want that mountain. I want that mountain where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Escol grow. I want that mountain. I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me. Now sing the rest of the verses. And if you know the chorus, please help me sing loud, okay? There was a giant of laziness who said I wouldn't go, and witness for the one who set me free. I'll come from out the wilderness, I'll witness now I know. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. Ready? I want that mountain. I want that mountain where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Escol grow. I want that mountain. I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me. Now you've heard it twice, you ought to be able to sing it. Listen. One faithless giant upon the crest of Hebron's lofty height has vowed that he's the one to make me flee. I'll climb from out the wilderness and trust Jehovah's might. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. Sing it with me. I want that mountain. I want that mountain where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Escol grow. I want that mountain. I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me. Let every giant of distress and unbelief and sin get ready now to vacate, for you see I've come from out the wilderness. I know I'm gonna win. I want that mountain, it belongs to me. Sing it, come on. I want that mountain. I want that mountain where the milk and honey flow, where the grapes of Escol grow. I want that mountain. I want that mountain, the mountain that my Lord has given me. Let's stand and pray.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for the challenge of life through the person of the Lord Jesus.